Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." Romans 8:34 simply says this: "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." We know God will add his blessing to these readings from his word today. Not very long ago, a poll was conducted by a very well-known magazine. It was termed a religious poll, but the intention was to discern what people knew about the Christian faith. Now, we know that the land in which we live and the country of which we are part is becoming more secular and godless as every generation passes. However, some of the statistics from that particular poll were startling and some of them extremely sad. And they were a stark reminder to the Christian church, if such a reminder is actually needed, that secularism, humanism, and many other isms have gripped the hearts of so many people in our society today. When asked who was Judas Iscariot, 60% admitted that they didn't know either that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ or that he was the man who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ to the authorities. When asked about the meaning of Easter and what the message of Easter is all about, 52% said they didn't know that it related to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's over half the population of this country of ours. Yet this is viewed to be, in the eyes of the world, a Christian country. Now, I don't know what you know about the Christian faith, and I want to leave you in no doubt today what Easter really means to the believer in Jesus Christ and what the Easter message is all about. And that's why I want to turn your thoughts to two simple facts. Two facts that lie at the heart of the Easter message and hence the Christian's faith. I want you to see the necessity of the cross. Why this morning did we spend time singing some beautiful hymns that have taken us to that place called Calvary where the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on that old rugged cross? Is this just a fact of history that we should remember from time to time and recall to our minds on an occasion like this? The necessity of the cross. And I want you to see the reality of the resurrection. Because this is where our Christian faith fails if we don't believe in the literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Our reading in Luke's Gospel sets before us the events that happened after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You'll know that the ministry of Jesus Christ, as it unfolds in the gospel accounts, is recorded for us, and a number of things have already happened. He had been betrayed at the hands of this man, Judas Iscariot, who for personal gain had handed him over to the authorities. He has been arrested and interrogated by Pilate and Herod, rejected by the people who had the opportunity to release him, but instead of releasing the Lord Jesus Christ, they released a man called Barabbas, who was a murderer. And then he was taken while others watched on. And he makes his way up Golgotha's hillside, and there to the gaze of a perishing world, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and for mine. Of course, he had come to do the Father's will. He had been obedient to it in every respect of it. And I want to give you this morning two reasons for our Christian hope. Two reasons for our Christian hope. Here is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now that verse opens up a whole lot of different things to us, and we could spend the rest of the morning thinking about what Paul actually says about Jesus Christ. It tells us Christ died, it tells us Christ is risen, it tells us that Christ is reigning, and it tells us that Christ is interceding, for he ever lives to make intercession for us. But I'm going to dwell in the first two things that Paul says today, and I want you to see the necessity of the cross. You see, Paul simply says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says it is Christ who died. And we could spend the rest of the morning just thinking about that little phrase. This is a statement that for many is very difficult to comprehend, because when we speak about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, we're entering into a mystery that for many is too deep for them to comprehend. Because his death was no ordinary death. No man ever died like he did. His death has caused so much debate, so much disagreement, yet seen as a prophetic fulfillment, for that is how the Lord Jesus Christ viewed his own death. And if you and I today have difficulties in understanding what the death of Jesus Christ means, one thing is absolutely sure, that Jesus Christ was aware of all the precise details concerning his death. He was aware of his sufferings at the hands of his enemies. He knew everything that would befall him on the cross. He anticipated his death because it lay at the very center of the mission that God had given him to do, and he knew his death on the cross was inevitable. When Paul says here it is Christ who died, what does that little phrase actually mean to you and to me? Well, can I say just a few simple things? And the first is this, that his death was one of great suffering. That's the first thing we need to understand regarding the death of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter puts it simply, for he says this, Christ also hath once suffered for us. Christ also hath once suffered for us. That means you. That means me. And if you've been listening to the words that Ruth has already been ministering to us in song, you would have understood this. You'd have grasped the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came and why he had to suffer on the cross. This is a man who came from heaven to earth, and his ministry amongst men recorded for us in Scripture, and there is no doubt that this man's life was one of intense suffering. And suffering that culminates at the cross when Jesus Christ is taken and he's uplifted and he's nailed to that cross in order that your sins and mine might be dealt with. No man ever suffered like he did. No man had to undergo the experience that he did. Remember, even before he went to the cross, we see him arrested. He's betrayed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Calvary's on his mind. And then he's arrested and taken, beaten and abused. He's scourged. He's left in such a state that the Lord Jesus Christ was barely recognizable. Then he's nailed to a cross. And on the cross, as he bears our sin, as others gambled for his clothing at the foot of the cross and others turned their back in glee with great delight that now they were getting rid of him, he cries out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then as we've read in John 19, he says it's finished, bows his head and gives up the ghost. His death was one of great suffering, and that was absolutely necessary because his death was one of great sacrifice. This is where it becomes much more personal, isn't it? His death was a sacrificial death in that he gave himself for our sins. If you and I were to take time this morning, we won't because we'll think about these verses tonight. But if you and I were to think this morning of Isaiah's great prophecy and especially in Isaiah 53, you would understand in that picture exactly what the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross really means. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Friend, not only did Christ die and suffer on that cross, but he died for us. Not only was he the sacrifice for sin, it's much more personal than that. He loved us, and he gave himself for us. You, me, every single one of us who are gathered here today, Jesus Christ took our place. He died in our stead. And you might ask me the question today, well, Pastor, hold on a moment. Why? Why would a man that I've never met die for me? Why would a man that I couldn't care less about in life ever go to the cross and hang on that cross for my sin? Why would a man take my place and die my death when I haven't got one interest in him? Well, the answer to that question and other questions, my friend, underlines the necessity of the cross. There was a time in life when none of us had any thought of him. There was a time in life when Jesus Christ just didn't matter to any one of us. There was a time in life when he was far from all our thoughts, and I'll tell you why. Because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and spiritual matters were far from our thoughts, and heaven and hell and sin and salvation, we heard it being spoken, it never cost us a thought. Until the Spirit of God brought us to the foot of that old rugged cross and we saw one who died that we might live. Many of us trusted him as our Savior, and today we see it from a different point of view. You're sitting here today, and I want to tell you this. On this Easter Sunday morning, and maybe this is one of your annual pilgrimages to church because you have a religious background. Well, before you go home, I want to tell you this, that on the cross at Calvary, Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ gave himself to the shedding of his own precious blood in order that you and me, both of us and all of us, might be gloriously saved. You see, without his death on the cross, we'd have no hope. Without his sacrifice, the debt for sin would never have been paid. Without his death on the cross, God's demands upon the sinner would never, ever have been met. And yet if you're a Christian, you can stand and sing today, "Here I rest in wonder viewing. All my sins on Jesus laid, and a full redemption flowing from the sacrifice he made." The necessity of the cross. His death was one of great suffering, great sacrifice, great sufficiency. Once for all. Once for all. Never needs to be repeated again. Do you know what that means? It means the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is absolutely sufficient. It never needs to be repeated again. Jesus Christ has done everything necessary for any one of us. That means you. And for every one of us, that means us all. He has done everything necessary for us to be saved. I'm sure, like me, there are many other Christians who love to, coming into this week that leads us up to Easter Sunday, sit down with the Bible opened and read the stories of Christ. Heading to the cross, all that he experienced, what he endured, what he accomplished. You know something? Three little words. That's all, just three little words. Sums it all up and gives us all hope. It is finished. It is finished. What's finished? The work that the Father had given him to do. The very mission he had come to accomplish has now been fulfilled. And now, because of his death on the cross and the debt that has been paid, all barriers have been removed. Sin is dealt with in its entirety. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Can I say this to you if you're not a Christian today? That you have an opportunity just now to deal with the sin problem in your life. You've had opportunity. Oh, I know that you've had many before now. I know that you've sat for a long time listening to the Word of God, and you know about Christ, and you know about Calvary, and you know about the empty tomb, and you know all of those things, but you've never grasped the opportunity to come and trust Christ as your Savior. I'm challenging you today. I'm imploring you, I'm urging you to grasp another opportunity that will bring you to Christ and bring you to the cross and bring you to salvation and give you hope for heaven. Because you'll never get to heaven without him. And you can't bypass the cross and hope to be there. Friend, this is a wonderful opportunity for you today. To come and have all your sins forgiven. And to know the joy and the blessing of being a Christian. And to have hope not just in this life, but hope way beyond the grave. Ah, you say, "Pastor, what does it matter to me? I'll do what I like, I'll live as I please, and I'll take my chance, and it will all work out for me at the end." You're forgetting one thing. You've already sung this morning, "Jesus controls my destiny." Think you're going to bargain with God? Do you think when the time suits you, perhaps in the midst of a crisis in your life, that you'll just say, "Well, I've wasted all my life, Lord, but now I'm going to die. I want you. It doesn't work like that. This isn't about you. This is about Him. And today, on a day that reminds us so much of His death and resurrection from the dead, my friend, He stands today and He says to you, come to Me. But I'm a sinner, Lord. Of course you are. He knows that. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He endured the suffering and the shame and the pain. That's why He gave His life's blood. For the very fact that you're a sinner. But today you could be saved. It is Christ who died. The necessity of the cross. If you bypass the cross, you'll never be in heaven. Reject Christ, you'll never be saved. But I want to tell you something else today about the Easter message. Not just the necessity of the cross, the reality of the resurrection. Who is he who condemns, Paul asks in this verse in Romans 8. He says it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. You'll know if you read through the New Testament, you'll understand this, that the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, they're inseparably linked. In fact, the resurrection of Christ from the dead is the very cornerstone of the Christian faith. Here's what John Stott says about that. He says, Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. Do you know what that means? If you take away the doctrine of the resurrection, there is no Christian faith. If you take away the doctrine of the resurrection, you and I have no hope in time or for eternity. Go to that great chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 that deals with the doctrine of the resurrection. And Paul says it clearly, if Christ be not risen, then you're still in your sins. That's how important the resurrection is. If Christ died, remained in the tomb, and hasn't risen again, neither me, you, or the world in which we live has any hope. But Paul says it is Christ who died and is also risen. You say to me, fine, I understand that. But where's the proof of his resurrection? Well, I know there are many in this day and age and many in a bygone day who have been skeptical concerning all of this. So many theories. As to did he actually die? Was he actually buried there? Did he just swoon on the cross? And one theory after another has raised its head, even to the extent some people would say that somehow the disciples were just brainwashed. And they only saw him because they wanted to see him. Well, I don't want you to be too concerned today with theories. The one thing that should interest you and me is the truth. Now, here's how it's put in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We've thought about the necessity of the cross. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. He has not only risen, he was seen. He was seen to be alive. Now the Old Testament had predicted, of course, and Jesus Christ himself had said that one day he would rise again from the dead. And the apostles In those early days of the church as it moved forward and the Spirit of God was moving in mighty power, what was the message that they preached? The message was that Christ had risen again. Christ had risen again. They had seen Him. They had received the Great Commission from Him. They went out to tell others about Him. They didn't preach about a dead martyr. They didn't dwell in the past. They didn't even stop at the cross. They proclaimed the tomb was empty, that Jesus had risen again. That's what this Easter message is all about. And sometimes even as believers in Jesus Christ, when we share our faith with others, so often we bring them to the place called Calvary, and that's right that we should do so. But sometimes we walk away and we leave it there. And I meet people from time to time in the course of life, and they're wearing crosses that have the Lord Jesus Christ still on the cross. The Bible has Him in heaven. Risen, ascended, seated, but soon coming. That's the Savior whom we present to people. That's the message of the gospel. That's what gives us hope. And it's just as James Denny rightly says, the New Testament preaches a Christ who was dead, who was alive, and not a Christ who was alive and is now dead. You want proof? Go home today and read the Scriptures. And listen to those who met with Him, and listen to them, and listen to them as they go out to tell others of Christ, who is not only alive but mighty and well able to save. If I was coming out of this church this morning just to remember a dead martyr, I wouldn't be here. But I'm here because I believe with all my heart in a loving Savior who went to the cross and died for me, but a living Savior who rose from the dead is alive forevermore and who's with me every step of the way. Could you say that today? Who is the Christ that you believe in? You might say to me this morning, well, I'm not so sure about the proof, but sure, it doesn't matter whether He rose again or not. So long as we believe that He did, though that's not right. That's not right. And some Christians even today will come out with statements like that. Sure, as long as we've got the faith to believe, what does it matter whether He rose again or not? It matters a great deal. It matters everything. If He is not risen and He's not alive, we've no hope. If He's not risen, we've no gospel to preach. If He's not risen, we'd still be in our sins like millions of others who will just wind their way along a pathway of disobedience and slip out into a lost eternity. Do you know something? This morning before I come out to meet here in this church, I was reading in Revelation chapter 5 about that great crowd in glory. Multitudes from every tribe and tongue and nation under heaven. And they're gathered around the throne, and the Lamb is on the throne. And every single one of them owe their life to His death. One of these days, perhaps sooner than we think, you and I just might be taken home to join with them to sing the song, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And not only slain on the cross, buried in a tomb, risen from the dead, and who today lives in the power of an endless life. when God raised him from the dead, it wasn't just a demonstration of God's power and greatness. It showed that this work, once for all, is finished. And God's satisfied. And you and I today have the opportunity to come and meet this living Savior. To live daily for this same Savior. To go out and tell this world that is gripped with godlessness that lives can be changed. That a home in heaven can be assured and that there's hope beyond the grave because of Jesus Christ. We'll sing in a moment or two those words, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. For he rose a victor from the dark domain and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Friends, Easter, the Easter message. Can I say this? Satan is defeated. His power has been destroyed. Sin has been dealt with once and for all. Death has been conquered. No need to fear the last enemy. And the grave has lost its sting. Because there's not just hope beyond the grave. There's a home in heaven for all who are trusting in Christ. Who is he who condemns? Paul says it is Christ who died. And furthermore is also risen. Two reasons for our Christian hope. The necessity of the cross. You can't get to heaven if you bypass it. The reality of the resurrection. My, he's risen. Sin's dealt with. Satan's defeated, God is satisfied, and you today can be gloriously saved. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort that sweet sentence brings. He lives, who once was dead. He lives my everlasting head. If you're a believer today, you should be shouting, hallelujah, what a Savior. And if you're not a Christian today, as you're challenged by the Word of God, you should make your way to the cross and the Christ who died for you and grasp the opportunity now, today, to trust Him